Okay. Hare Krishna, I'm back. I think there's going to be a little change in the Wednesday class. I think I've kind of figured out how to do it. If I'm not teaching a particular text, I'll share with people my own personal notes and readings and discuss them on different points. It could work. But I think there's another thing, is that my kind of life has changed a little bit. I'm not nearly as sedentary as I was when I started this 3.5 years ago. And in English is a phrase, strike when the iron is hot. There's such an opportunity to share the things that I've studied with you know, people who are searching for some type of spiritual knowledge and don't have much previous contact with it, at least to the degree and extent that can be presented in line that's empowering us to do so. Line that's empowering me to do so. So I'm finding myself traveling a lot, and you know, sometimes I was in a program and I'd sneak away to a room. So I think what this class is going to be is I'll give it when I can give it, and to really know when that is, you'll have to be on the mailing list that Rati Krishna sends out. I won't be able to give it next week. Because I will be traveling on Monday to Croatia for the Sankirtan Festival of Sankhya, the Kirtan Festival of Satchinanda Swami. So I'll be leaving on Tuesday, and you know, I'll just be traveling, and I don't know where I am, what phone I'm going to get. Greetings from Fasan Falls, where I stay. It's wonderful to be here. Also, it seems like I'm spending very little time here. I do spend time here. I do really, really relish it. It's a wonderful facility provided by Sachi and Kaylee Lita. And there are people, because of this renewed interest in bhakti and the traditions, people visiting me, which is really nice. It's kind of the thing I always like. Rather than traveling around, people come to you. So many people interested, so it's really, really edifying. This weekend, I'll go into the city Friday and Saturday. I'll go to the 12-hour kirtan. That's my basic plan. I thought I'd discuss a few points, and we'll see. I hope Mahamuni's there. If he's there, he can help me. I think the thing that comes up most readily with people new or mature is, you know, spirituality in the world, because it seems so unconducive to spiritual life. I just gave a seminar in a satsang. Rather than just giving a lecture at someone's home, the yoga studio, it's someone's home. Really, people just really interested in, and we discussed that point. And because I was thinking, even Srila Prabhupada, he never really did much with congregational preaching. He kind of had a vision of the opposition that would exist. And his first tack was to bring people into some kind of communities. Understanding the opposition, praying out by Yasha Shubha Kalavas when you gauge and ha manda sumanda Matiya Manda Bhaga Upadruta, the Bhagavatam, the 5,000 years ago, the sages of Namasharanya sacrifice to counteract what they see, Trikalaya, they see the future, they see opposition. And this opposition means the modes of passion and ignorance. It means that the environment is in shapes that impact your mind to restlessness and inertia, which are the enemies of spiritual life and meditation. So it's not a question of renouncing the world. That's not the philosophy. But when the world is so surcharged with the opposition to spiritual life, it's not the world that was envisioned in the Vedic culture, was described in the Bhagavatam. It's people who are in the world, they dealt with their attachments. But the environment was shaped in goodness because it was Brahminical culture. It was guided by the teachers. So the shapes, the sounds, the activities, the morality, the etiquette, the food, it was more conducive to spiritual life. Still, spiritual life isn't renunciation. Bhagavad Gita talks about spirituality in the world. And Prabhupada, you know, talked about communities. And Shastra mostly talks about that, not just renunciation. But because the world is so deleterious to spiritual development, one does have to look first, sincerely in their life, are there any major changes that one could take, even from a change in diet that is conducive more to goodness, to reduction of a standard of living that's more conducive to spiritual life, to how one deals with the media. The people I went to, I was impressed. They have a media fast. No Facebook, no internet. You know, they do email, you know, what they need. Community. Relocation. Raghunath initially was in Los Angeles. He came upstate New York while he was driving on the thruway. He wound up in New York City for other reasons. Jagadish moved his family to India. Okay, so one has to look at that seriously in spiritual life. If the circumstances are not ideal, one is where he is because of his karma, and major changes cannot be made, although there are major changes on certain levels that definitely can be made. You may not be able to relocate. You may not be able to move near this. You may not be able to get the job you want. You may not be able to leave the family that's causing you hell, whatever it is. And I'm not saying family causes hell, but there may be a situation where it's very difficult. Circumstances are not ideal, okay, then what do you do? So, most important is sadhu sangha. It's without knowledge, without inspiration, you can't do anything, and that's where it comes from. And bhakti moves on sadhu sangha. So that's the impetus, to get the inspiration and the strength to change. This is why I'm providing this. I don't know how what quality I can provide, but this is what I'm providing. This is what this is about. In that environment, okay, there's no community. You don't go next door to hear the sadhu. The Ramayana is not repeated in the straw next door so you can hear. So I'm trying to think of things and ways, and this is one of the ways I thought. Kirtan. Nothing more powerful for spiritual life than kirtan. And I've seen that. Like in New Jersey, I see some of the families. They've got into kirtan. They've got the taste for kirtan. They go to kirtans. Can't underestimate the power of that. Deity worship, moving from subject to object. moving from seeing the world as an object to your desires to seeing yourself as an object of God's desires. Sadhana, times of day, times of month, retreats, plans, responding to the world. Spoke extensively too at Mahamuni, Ramanuja's conception. The world, how you see yourself in the world, how you relate to others in the world. Of course, to do that, you do need sadhana, you do need study, books of the basis. Do a seminar like this, and I teach something called prayerful reading, which just takes 10 minutes a day, but before you make yourself a protected environment for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, but it can be only 10 minutes. And you pray, you're reading Bhagavad Gita, you pray to Krishna, you pray to Prabhupada, Bhagavatam, you pray to Sukadev, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya, Krishna's Kavya. Whoever is going to speak, you be in the mood that you're in their association, and you pray, not for knowledge, not just for getting facts, but for having your life changed by getting the inspiration that comes from that message. That comes from that message. And then what you do after that prayer, for that 10 minutes, no phones, nothing, no family, nothing. You read slowly. And when something impacts you, when you really feel something touches your heart, you read it three times. Read that for 10 minutes, and when you're finished, you just pay your obeisances and offer gratitude. It's incredible what the mind can do with intention in spiritual life concentrated for a short period of time. I try to do it every day. Amazing. And if I have time, I take 5 minutes and I free write, which means the pen never stops. And if I don't know what to say, I just write. I don't know what to say. Please help me, God. But you can't believe you actually remember. You actually remember. Then from that, I've been taking the things I remember and making notes. I'm going to speak to Ruti Krishna maybe after this about extending my website. And sometimes when there's groups of people, I have them talk among themselves. Very, very powerful, called prayerful reading. Okay, that was a short discussion of that. Mahamuni, by any chance, are you there today? I guess he's not. Anybody else like to ask a question or say hello? I just want to make sure people are still there or someone's there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Yeah. Great. Okay. I know that to keep, and I've kept this going for 3 years with steady numbers, and I think one of the things is that I've been steady. And once you break it a little bit, it puts people on the mental plane, except for those that are really. So I think I heard Amya, Ruti. Anybody else there? Okay, I'll go on a little bit. Okay, this is some of the things I got. I'm reading the story of Gajendra. And it begins with an incredible description of the opulence of the heavenly planets. Because Gajendra is enjoying to a tremendous degree, and then he gets captured by a crocodile. And the crocodile has, to use a sports analogy, the home court advantage. And Gajendra, who's so powerful, is in trouble. And that's the world. I mean, a drop of suffering is worth more than tons of happiness, or is felt more than tons of happiness. A drop of suffering is felt more than tons of happiness. So it's like that, where you go, you enjoy, but then you suffer more when it's disrupted, because you become attached. And suffering is when your attachments are not fulfilled. So Prabhupada's describing these descriptions, and he says, no one has the ability to imitate the activities of material nature as conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's just a description of the universe. I guess it's an argument by design, but this is a description of mountains surrounded by emeralds. But even if someone doesn't believe that, still the point is valid concerning the wonders of creation. This common sense approach to divinity, that the beauty of creation is divine and no one could duplicate it, reminds me when I took one Russian devotee named Sannyasdas. He was in prison, tortured for so many years, and then when the Russian devotees first came to India, I took him on Prikram. And at that time, you know, I'd see a peacock every 10 yards. And when he saw the beauty of the peacock, almost in anger, he just blurted out, how can they deny God? How can you deny God when you see the beauty of the creation? So no one has the ability. It's just so, it struck me. You can't imitate God. No one of the activities, right near me is this incredible waterfall. A man cannot make that incredible waterfall. What to speak of one living human being? Prabhupada taught common sense. What to speak of one person is so infinitely complex. That's why Krishna is Yogeshwara, because he was able to duplicate all the cowherd boys and calves when Lord Brahma stole them. And he came back, Krishna had duplicated. So even to duplicate one, it means inclinations, habits. It's the complexity of it is just so beautiful. And then in this heavenly garden, they described the demigoddesses, and it said, since the demigod bodies of the damsels in the heavenly planetary systems are so beautiful, we can just imagine how beautifully formed are the bodies of the Vaikuntha damsels or the damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis. So that also struck me how, you know, we see beauty here in the world, but it's not the epitome of beauty. It can't compare to the demigods, the upper planetary system. Can you imagine? We're attracted to forms. You know, it's not a question even of sexuality or sexual attraction. We say, this is a beautiful woman. A man can say it's a beautiful woman. A woman can say it's a beautiful woman. And there's something, it's something it's something wonderful in the world, just God's creation. But then, he said, the upper planetary, said, then what to speak of Vaikuntha, and then imagine the gopis. What it's like to see the gopis. And how much one would be inspired to serve them when they see the beauty of the gopis. So then another part in this section, purport. Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly. So even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. Because Gajendra was remembering because he was Indradyumna in his last life, and obviously there were some scars. So mental impressions are so powerful. If you practice mantra properly, a deep impression is made in the consciousness. And regardless of how our karma is dealt to us in the next life, those impressions remain. Our present life, mostly we had low birth, sinful life, forgetful of God, but somehow we have been inspired to take the spiritual life. It must be due to have chanting mantras in our last life. Steady mantra chanting is thus essential to cultivate the mind and ensure a continuality, continuity of spiritual life on our next birth. That also struck me how important it is to make impressions, how important spiritual practice and sadhana is to make impressions. So I'm going to continue like this, and I think I really found the right thing. I'll study and share what I read and read. I think it'll lend to this kind of class. And I don't know, even if it's just, I know that Ami will always be there, Gail will always be there, Lucky will, even if it's just a few of us, and then it's put on tape, and I might see that more come when people show me the thing, but and once we get steady again. I was going to give it up. I decided I would give up the Wednesday class, but I'll do it this way, I'll forget about the continuity that so many people, if I have a small group of people that are committed whenever they get notices. There won't be class next week, perhaps the week after or not, but certainly when I come back after that. We'll do it like this. Okay, we can do one more today, and even if it's just a half hour or whatever. This also struck me. The material body certainly consists of only of material elements. When one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material but spiritual. The material body is meant to sense enjoyment, whereas the spiritual body engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Supreme Lord and who constantly thinks of him should never be considered to have a material body. Is therefore enjoined, Guru Shu Naramati, one should stop thinking of a spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. So in this, it struck me how casually I see those who have surrendered their life to God. Because always you can see faults. If people have bodies, you'll see faults. But if you see the Sarup Lakshma, you know, a person is really surrendered to God, you really have to change your view, because all energy is the energy of God. Just as there's a prison house, there's a university, they're all equal government departments. From the standpoint of the government. So if the purpose of those institutions are changed, let's say they take a prison house and use it as a school, then the difference becomes not the substance but the utility. So if you have the material body, which you got for enjoyment, and then someone gives that to God, it is spiritual. It's also God's energy. And when it's used to serve him, it reveals a different spiritual nature. So what I take from this is a change in vision of those whose bodies are sacrificed for service, even if there are apparent imperfections. Still, that body and that person should be seen as spiritual. Okay, one more. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Son, always remains luminous, even when the entire cosmic manifestation is annihilated in due course of time. So Gajendra's glorifying God, these are his prayers. So describes God to the sun. The sun is never covered, but somehow in the world it's dark. But in the world being dark doesn't mean the sun is covered. So similarly, God, he's always remains luminous, no matter how our perspective of him is, our viewpoint of him is obstructed. So that's also nice. Okay, anybody have any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, Gail.
Yeah, when you saying that even if a person who has dedicated his life to God has some apparent fault, I'm not exactly sure what to do with those faults, because, you know, I don't feel like I should pretend like they don't exist. I mean, I could see, you know, just like
the analogy is given.
Moon, right?
The analogy is given is like pockmarks on the moon.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a good analogy because you see the effulgence. It becomes very, very minor. And that's what happens when someone leaves, you know, then what happens is your perspective of them changes, and then you realize how much they've been serving and dedicating themselves to God, you know. And I think it's a liberal viewpoint, but, I think it's a very practical viewpoint, too, because there is some real power and connection that comes from someone who gives their life to God. And they give everything. You know, I made a joke with one person. I didn't like something he did, but I knew he was really surrendered. I said, you know, he gave everything to God. I wish he would take some things back. But I didn't deny that that person is incredibly empowered, incredibly surrendered. And I think the viewpoint, it's just not ordinary. I took a walk today. I'm upstate here, trying to get a little exercise. I'm not kidding when I travel. I took a little walk today, and I just said, how am I so fortunate? How are the devotees so fortunate that they have this knowledge? There's nice people in the world, but they don't have spiritual knowledge. And then some people have spiritual knowledge and they gave and dedicated their life to God. It's not an ordinary thing. Of course, that's not a carte blanche for you know, people who are using their position to exploit others, or you know, their motive is ill, they get covered in different ways. I want to be liberal, but within limits, you know. But there are people that just give themselves to God. It's so obvious, and there's an energy that moves through them. There's something very spiritual about it. Okay, Gail?
Yeah, what were you saying about those who don't have spiritual, I think, guidance? I missed something you were trying to say there.
Maybe you didn't hear me properly. I didn't say spiritual guidance, but...
Or something. There are those
maybe,
who
I
don't
know.
Have... Oh, okay. Anyway, I missed your point, yeah.
Yeah, those who... No, I'll just repeat the point that... I mean, there's limits to how far you can extend that. People have to be sincere. And I'm talking about many sincere people who... give everything to God, and including what they give, or some, you know, they give everything to God, and maybe some of their conditioning remains. You know, maybe they do things I don't like or appreciate, but it's not their motive. Their motive is to surrender and serve God. They don't cheat in any way. It may be impulses or something. That's another thing, but they give themselves to God fully. They don't consciously cheat in any way. I think it's an extraordinary thing. And when I read this, I'm expressing my own realization and my own vision and my own life. People can apply it the way they want. That I should be a little bit less casual. And my view and approach and respect to souls I know that have given themselves fully to Guru and Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Gail, for questions. Anybody else like to say hello or ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Govardhan.
Thank you, Govardhan. That's great. Well, anybody else like to say hello? And then we'll have Gobert on there. We'll have Amir. We'll have Gail. We'll have Rati. Maybe some others. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
And we'll have Bharati. Very good. You like the festival this weekend?
Very nice, Maharaj. It was very nice.
A little bit different, you know. It was had a little different objective. It wasn't just people who are full devotees. So there are a lot more broader activities like yoga and things like that. But the effect was wonderful in terms of sharing with people our tradition. I've gotten letters from people. People had an incredible time. They won't forget it, and they associate that with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I really appreciate that, Bharati, you and Govardhan, and you're always on and listening. It's very encouraging. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Amya? Yes, good.
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just wanted to mention about the festival last weekend. I started with Kirtan, and I just stayed with the Kirtan all the way through. It was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, okay. There wasn't Kirtan the whole time, though, but you stayed in that Kirtan booth.
Intervals, but I began with the Kirtan, and there was no Kirtan. Oh, we did Kartals. Yes, we did practicing of Kartals.
And then we did more. How was that? I heard that was a good course.
So it was very good. It was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, so you went to the Kirtan, then there was the Kartals, then there was the seminar on yoga for depression, then there was transcendental poetry by...
That was
then there was transcendental poetry, then there was yoga for depression, and then there was Kirtan again. We made the festival that anybody could take what they want out of it. You were intelligent that you went for Sarup Siddha Bhakti.
Exactly.
And listen there. And I spoke on the yoga of gratitude. And then we went in there for Kirtan. And then there was more Kirtan. How did you get there, Amya?
Well, I took the train to Mithachan and then I drove with Gail.
You and Gail, huh? You got that. Wow.
And that's great. With Gail.
What's that?
And then also on the way back, I was with Gail again to Mithachan. And from Mithachan, I take the train home.
No problem, all right?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, great. That's great. Thank you, Gail, for taking care of Amya.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Gail.
She kind of took care of me, Maharaj.
What's that?
I said she kind of took care of me, actually. I know that.
I know she took care of you. That's good. Gail, yeah, I'm going to... this yoga teacher was there. She led Kirtan. Her name is Bryn.
Actually, I took her class.
you took her class, too?
Yeah. Do you remember me? I was the only one who tried to do yoga in a sari.
Wait. Are you sure you took her class? Which yoga teacher was that?
It was Amy's class.
Anyway, she's opening up a yoga studio, and she's going to have regular satsang with me. So I'll let you know when that is if you all want to come.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's pretty exciting for me, even though I'm going to be speaking to people on the outside. It's pretty exciting for me to do that and getting that opportunity. Because I always wanted a place in New York City where I can, you know, lecture. So it's regular. Whenever I'm in the city, once a month, we'll be having some satsang. I'll talk to you about that, Amya. Because maybe you could cook a little something we can distribute to the people or something, you know. That would be nice.
Absolutely.
Something simple. Okay, good. And also the opening of the studio, I definitely want you to come. You have the dates on that?
No, I haven't got the email yet.
Okay, I'll let you know about that, you know, and maybe it's because, you know, I brought her to your house, so you know her. Did you see her there? That's nice, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Every time I see her, I speak to her. The orchid.
Okay. Okay, good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, so I may not have this regularly, but Rati will inform people when I have it. It won't be next week. Okay, thank you all. Panchakalpa Thiruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavishapati Tanam.